Hello, I'm Kirsty Rice, and welcome to the Two Fat Expats, the podcast about living a fat expat life. And why are we fat? Well, we've just had Christmas and New Year, and we haven't stopped eating and drinking. Okay, no, those of you who have been here before know exactly why we're fat expats, because this podcast is all about living a fat expat life. Today, we're going to do a wrap-up of 2016, and we're going to take a quick look at what we have coming up in 2017. It's going to be a year of surprises for both Nikki and I, with a little bit of job security tension, with mergers and acquisitions well underway. But we like that in the expat world, don't we? A change is as good as a holiday, right? I know so many of you have similar stories at the moment, with over 200,000 expats losing their jobs last year. Yep, 200,000 of us were on the move. It's no wonder we're all a little battle-weary in the expat world at the moment. But we all know we will push on, and there will be another assignment just around the corner. Right now, I'm in Adelaide, Australia. I'm waiting for one of my children to start the beginning of her new school year, while three of my other children are back in Doha, Qatar, with their grandmother and father returning from... The Europeans would say the winter break. We, of course, are saying the summer break. And Nikki is in Hamburg, celebrating the return to school after the winter break with a big glass of gin for breakfast. Only joking. I'm sure it's more just a tiny little shot in a coffee. Should we go and say hello? Let's do it. Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, KK Rice. How are you?
Why am I KK Rice?
I don't know. I just have to throw that out there because three things. One, when we were on our family road trip over the Christmas period, we listened to some podcasts and my kids kept saying, listen to one of your podcasts. And then every time I turn it on, they're like, why do you say Kirsty Rice all the time? Like, why don't you call her something else? That's her name, Kirsty Rice.
I think it's because I always call you Nikki Moffat.
I know. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there as a surprise. Wasn't in the notes. And so this year, so if we're talking about 2016, we were going to do this before the new year ticked over, but we didn't. So here we are. It's 2017. We're kicking it off, doing a retrospective of 2016. So many great conversations, so much happening, and on the podcast and also in real life. So, Kirsty, January to December, what happened for you? Just a few things?
Just a few things. Well, I was thinking, because, you know, you asked me to think about this before, sort of what 2016 looked at, and we both sort of wrote a few notes. And, yes, when I started to write it down... I think the first thing I wrote was, it's very weird to think that I started this year, started 2016, if I go back a year and look at where I was just so sick and full of chemo. Like, I'd had that last round of chemo, which really knocked me for six, and completely bald and headscarf and, you know, probably just a little bit scared. And it was 6 weeks of radiation that I kicked off the year with, and then at the end of those 6 weeks, said goodbye to my daughter and left her here at school in the boarding house so that I could return back to my other three. Like, when I think about it now, it's highly emotional and just incredible year. Yeah. For all of us. And, you know, we were walking home from the beach the other day, and my little guy, who's 10, he said, I can't wait till it was something that was going to go away, that was going to not remind him of breast cancer. I think it's that when my hair gets a bit longer. Where something like, I can't wait till your hair's just a little bit longer, and then we can just completely forget about the cancer. And I was like, yeah, I know. And And then just recently, you know, my husband, who was as solid as a rock for this last year and just, you know, very determined that we weren't really going to talk about it, we were just going to get on with it, and, you know, it was one foot after the other, and he really did, like, he rallied and was fantastic. But we kind of got to just before Christmas and he admitted that he was just terrified that I was going to die, which, you know, is really a confronting conversation to have with your husband of 18 years when you're sort of saying, yeah, I was a bit worried about that too. And
well, yeah, I mean, but as you said, he was so solid, and it's not probably something, and if the situations were reversed, you probably would have felt the same way.
Exactly.
But, exactly. And also acted the same way though, like acted like you didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, and I've come up with the analogy that the whole cancer thing is a little bit like, and that whole thing of even taking yourself to the thought of, am I going to die, is I think it's really like that whole thing when you go on an expat assignment and it's, I don't think this is going to last very long, and then you don't really plant roots and you don't really get stuck into it, you know, because you're always got that thing of, well, when am I out of here? And I think that's why people can't do that when they get sick. They can't even entertain the idea because they stop living properly. And I know, you know, I always say when we went to KL, we thought it was just a very short-term assignment. So we didn't buy the car that we wanted to buy, and we didn't probably live where we wanted to live, and we didn't join any great clubs because we didn't want to put the money in and then have to go. And, you know, we just didn't. And we said we'd never, ever do that again. We said, right, doesn't matter where we go. If we don't think we're going to be there for very long, it doesn't matter. We're going to really just jump in. And I think that's the same thing you've got to do when you have one of these sort of illnesses where you're not too sure about it. So
really, when it comes down to it, there's nothing you can't compare to expat life. You can just get anything. You can make an analogy.
Oh dear.
Sorry, that was just to raise the mood.
That's so true. Yes, yes. So I guess to break the mood, boarding school has been a complete success. While we miss her terribly, we know that it's the best thing for her. And someone had told me in week one that it would be the making of Lizzie, which I thought sounded terribly British. And
yeah, I was going to say, that's just, and also a little bit...
Yeah. But they were absolutely right. We just, now we have this completely different girl than we had last year, and she's sort of gained this huge amount of confidence. She's got a great group of friends here who she feels really good about. She refers to them as her girls, and she's become an Aussie teenager. But we've seen this strength in her that just definitely wasn't there before, and this confidence that wasn't there before. So that's been a success. And I guess my last bit of my year is my work life, which was a year working for the Barefoot Investor, and where I learnt a lot about running an online newsletter and watching someone write a weekly column and appear on the radio a couple of times a week. And I made some new work friends, you know, who were all over the world. And I realised that it was completely doable to run an international business from home with Google Docs and a very few sort of clever little online tools. So that was a big thing for me.
That was, and it's a good realisation for you there.
Yes.
That more Nikki, to come on that.
More to come. But, Nikki, you, 2016, it was a big one for you.
Yes, well, I don't really have much to say after that. I think it's pretty... just a few quick points. I don't want to, you know. Anyway, well, I went from, I was playing tennis four times a week and having 200 days a year of sunshine to not having that.
Yeah.
I have not picked up the racket since I came here, moved countries. So that's due to a couple of things. I've got some bursitis in my in my heel and foot.
Is that a heel spur? Is that what they call that?
Well, it's not a heel spur. So I've, there's a lot of Dr. Google involved here. And
so no tennis.
No tennis, okay. And then the other thing that happened, I mean, I am in my mid-40s, let's just say, and I have been very lucky to have two grandparents until this last year, which is quite an amazing situation. So my grandmother, who was really the matriarch of our extended family and a huge influence on my life, passed away in February 2016. She was 97. 98. She was born in the same year as Nelson Mandela. And that was a really sad time for our family. And then just this last week, 2 days ago, my grandfather, who was 96, on my mother's father, the other side, he also passed away. So that's two really significant sort of events in our family, really, because they're, you know, quite long-standing.
And I guess you know, for you too, Nikki, like to have your grandfather, and I guess you could talk to him about your mother, and that's maybe feels like a double hit. I don't know.
Yeah, he took my mother's loss very badly. I mean, he was 92 when it happened. It's very, very hard to lose you. Children at any age, I imagine. And he went downhill a little bit after that. So he's had dementia for the last couple of years. So the last time I visited him, I did speak with him a lot about Mum, but he didn't realise that she wasn't alive anymore, which was great.
Yes.
When it did happen, and he found it very, very difficult to deal with. So I was happy for him that he could talk about her, and, you know, it didn't upset him like it used to upset him so much.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was it. And then we moved countries. So that was sort of just in the middle of the year. We just threw in a quick trip to Australia and then jumped on a plane to Germany. Mm-hmm. And as a result of our move, we had our first fractured bone. So I've gone 13 years with children with no fractures or breaks. So...
Do you know what?
Got one of those.
I'm going to touch the table, but I have...
No way!
We've not had anyone break a thing.
That's quite amazing. I mean, and impressive. And obviously you've got very flexible children or something.
Yeah, or they're just really lazy.
They don't climb trees, no. I am now learning a new language in my mid-40s, which is quite the challenge.
And I'm interested that you refer to it as a new language, Nikki, when you had travelled to Germany and learnt the language before. But yes, we can call it learning a new language without in brackets again.
Well, you have to say again. Okay, yes, I did live in Germany 20 years ago for 8 months. Like, you know, like it's a long time. But it's still like I knew that was a finite period and I could get away with a certain amount. Now we don't know, although it could be a finite period. But thank you that for that support.
Now, you were saying it might be a finite term, and that's because, of course, the company got sold that Sam works for. And
that's
then I
right.
think the ironic thing about this, because that was the last podcast that we did it in December, and we talked to people who had gone through redundancy and change in companies, and then my husband rang and said, yes, well, actually, our company is going to merge with another company. So we don't know what that means for us either. But we too have a merge date of January next year. So I have no idea if that means that for an entire year we're not going to know our future, or if it means that we'll find out fairly quickly but things won't take place till then, or if things will just roll on and on and on and on and on and it'll get extended, who knows. But, yes, we are in a state of flux as well. That was just thrown in there, I think, to make 2016 just that, you know, a little bit more wonderful.
Yes, yes. One of my other highlights of 2016 was being asked to do this podcast with you, which I just love, and it has been such an anchor for me in moving. I mean, I've moved many times before and, you know, everything's fine and you know how to do it and whatever, but I think each time it gets a little bit harder. I think the older you get, the older your kids get, you know, the less easy friend-making opportunities you have and things like that. So it's been so good to just sort of always have this to sort of be here for me.
And you're really good at it. I mean, we don't say about all the lovely messages that people sent, but we've had some really lovely messages from people who have said that they really feel that you have brought something new to the podcast and that you do a fantastic job. So, and I think, you know, that has to be noted because you were so nervous about doing it and really, really nervous about doing it. I mean, I think you still get nervous now, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I do get nervous, but I was just so nervous because it was, I mean, I have loved this podcast since it started, you know, so when you love something and then you become a part of it, like it's totally different feeling, you know, you don't want to let the side down, you know, there's so many different emotions and things that you go through that I don't know.
Yeah. And you know what's really, I agree. What's been funny about that is because we agreed we'd go back and we'd pick out some of our best. And I, of course, like I do when I'm writing things, completely forget what was said when, where and how and whatever, because there's, you know, lots that gets done. And you kind of, you finish one podcast and then you start researching for the next one and start asking the questions for the next one and start talking to different people. So, you know, it's like someone sent me a note. I put something on the 4 Kids 20 Suitcases page a couple of days ago for a girlfriend who's moving from Perth to Anchorage, and I was asking.
I saw people, that. That's quite a move.
And I was, and she's got older children now, and she's moved with toddlers. Thought it was all really easy, and I agree with her. It's so much easier moving with toddlers than it is with teenagers.
And apologies to all the people with toddlers who think it's really hard, but
yes.
We don't want to be those people that say, oh, it only gets harder as they get older. But no, we are. Sorry.
But I found it emotionally, even for me, because I could gloss things over with a toddler and I could just pick out the exciting bits. And, you know, for a child, as long as you're there, you're their world. And when they're that little, whereas teens, you know, there's a lot more. Like you can't pull the wool over their eyes about, oh, but we'll get to go to Disneyland or, you know, we'll have a pool in the backyard. They're just like, yeah, I really like my friend Tom and we've been friends for 2 years and now you're going to break us apart and I hate your guts. Yeah. So,
you know what you're talking about.
So I thought what was interesting because you had been a listener, you could tell me all of the episodes, like what had happened and who we'd said. It was amazing because you'd listen to them as a listener of which you like, you know, which ones and whatever. So what did you pick? Because we were meant to pick two each.
Two from 2016. So I stayed in the rules. I just want to say that. Some other people might have broken the rules. But I picked, my first one was season 2, episode 18 with the lovely Sarah Derrick and Kirsty Rice. And the title of the episode was Expat Passions, but it could be subtitled Belly Dancing and Bunko. It's a sequence of the conversation where you were trying to, where Sarah was talking about how she wanted to be a card shark and how she loved playing card games and you were trying to remember this silly card game that you or game with dice that you used to play in America that you couldn't remember and you called it about six things. And I re-listened to it yesterday and I was sitting at my dining room table yelling, Bunko! It's Bunko! It's Bunko! Anyway, but the episode was about passions, and the two ladies that you talked to had amazing things. I mean, one took up belly dancing and she had quite an amazing story, and the other girl did voiceovers, which was so cool. Remember, she had a Jamaican / Irish,
yes,
really great accent.
Yes, but it was,
and I really enjoyed the interviews, but it was more the commentary that you and Sarah put around it, because I'd been feeling so lost, like, and just I've been thinking a lot about what I wanted to do and like what it was. Like, I didn't know if I sort of felt adrift from when I lost mum, which was 4 years ago, or recently I've wondered whether it's when I stopped working, like when I stopped seeing myself contributing in a different capacity to our family, which was even longer ago. It was about passions and trying to find it. And, you know, how, and one of the things you said was, how do you find your passion? Well, you just start things. So you just start something and see how it works. And actually, I had listened to this podcast before, and I also listened to Startup, and I actually had done like a random few episodes of a podcast myself before as well, which I really enjoyed doing, but then things happened and it sort of fell apart a bit. But so like this, it kind of all tied into the fact that when you, like, that was a passion, and I thought I really need to like start that again, and then this opportunity came up and it all just tied together, and it just made me remember that episode and really think about it.
My favourite, and I had to put in two, and I know, is that the bit that I cheated? So I I had two because I went back and I liked them both for two completely separate reasons, and I just thought it was really important to sort of show that that's kind of what this podcast is, I think. Like, some are very much about the touchy-feelies and how we feel as expats, and some of our episodes are very much about the practicalities. And so expat adoption for me was just one that really opened my eyes to something I thought I kind of knew about but really didn't. And it was really emotional to do it with Sarah, because she, people who have listened to the podcast right from, you know, season one, episode one, would know that Sarah and Matt just have the one child, and they'd gone through all sorts of IVF dramas and miscarriages and, you know, just a brutal, brutal time of trying to have more children. And they, right at the time that we did this podcast, Sarah was sort of asking herself some questions about adoption and sort of, you know, coming to a realisation of herself. And while we did this podcast, because we used to stand under the bed and record, and because we've had quite a few different places where we've recorded, we started off at the kitchen table, we moved into the cupboard, then we were underneath my daughter's bed, and then we were in the spare room. But watching the pain in Sarah's eyes while we recorded this was really, really hard, and we actually had to stop because she burst into tears halfway through and sort of come back. And, you know, I guess obviously this is going to stay with Sarah forever, that that you know, they're a one-child family. But I think if you asked her, she'd say that she has now found some peace with it. But, you know, obviously it's really difficult. But there was one interview with Katie, and Katie had this incredible story, and she was also a brilliant storyteller. And she literally painted a picture with her words as she walked you through her story. And it was one of being an American who adopted a child from Russia. So the amazing thing about Katie was, they had adopted a Russian child where they'd flown over to Russia, and she walks you through going to the agency and what they went through and how they were almost, you know, without hope, and that then there miraculously happened to be this baby after, you know, lots of soul searching and whatever. And they go back to America, and they're in America for 5 years, and then her husband comes home one day and says, I've been offered an assignment in Russia. And so she then walks you through the decision of going back to Russia with this Russian child who has become American, and what that means and what their fears were about that. But it's the part when she gets to them being back at the orphanage, and they go back with presents, and the people there remember him. And I get really emotional just thinking about it now. But she tells this story of her and her son getting back into the car and what she asked him about the visit. So I'll play a bit for you now and we'll come back.
You know, just to start the international adoption process is daunting. There's a lot of documents that are required. All documents have to be notarized by someone local and then apostilled by the state, so sealed by the state. We had been in the process of adopting. Our paperwork had been with our agency for probably 18 months. We received a referral and we declined. And then we received another referral and we accepted. And we had had this precious child's information for about 3 weeks. And we were told more information would be forthcoming. Well, it never came. Our agency called us and said that we had lost the referral, that she was being used as a pawn. She was going to go to the highest bidder. So our agency backed out, and I'm glad that they did. They made the right decision. So at that point, I mean, we had been in the process for 2 years, and we had seen people come and go, receiving the referrals and coming home with their children. And our adoption agency was wonderful. They had an online community that we shared things with. And it just wasn't happening for us. So we lost the referral, and we were just devastated. It's a miscarriage. So our agency called us the next day, and we said, we have an idea. We want to send you to this region. And I knew the region. And it was the second toughest region in Russia at the time. So we did it. We said, whatever we got to do. So we got a phone call, I would say a month later. We traveled blind. We got on a plane. We didn't know who we were going to see, the age of the child, boy or girl. We knew nothing. And we were in country for about 3 days, and they kept saying, we don't have anything. We don't have anything for you. And I looked at my husband, and I said, in a country so big, in a region so large, there's not one child. And so a lady comes into the room, and we sat in her office all day long. She finally comes in the room and slides a piece of paper across the table and says, here, this is all I've got. So we said, okay. So the next day we went to the infant home, and we sat for 2 hours, and we listened to the medicals. And you would have thought that this child would have been severely hurt. You know, medically, physically, like what they bring in this little boy, and oh, he was so precious, and that was my son. That was my son. And there's not a thing wrong with him. He's perfectly perfect. But through that, we waited 6 months to go back and get him. And we had 93 documents to do for his adoption. And we did that 3 times. Because they have to be current for court. So by the time you, and who would have thought there's 93 documents on anybody, but 93 documents you have to have, all original, all signatures, all notarized, all state apostilled, and by the time, and then they have to be translated, and then they have to get to the country, and we did that 3 times. And so, yeah, by the time, when my husband said, let's go to Russia, I thought, I don't think so, buddy. The bureaucracy was a lot, but we did it.
So, Kitty, tell me, at what age did you talk to your children about their adoption?
Adoption has always been an everyday word in our house. Since the children came home and were learning English words and could speak, they've always known. And I made what's called a life book. It's like a scrapbook of their adoption and how they became who they are. And it was child friendly. So it's kind of like their own personalized book, if you will. And it talked about where they came from, how they got their name, and it talked about adoption and that they didn't grow in my tummy. So it's just always been. And so then how was it for your son then when you said, hey, we're going back to Russia? Did he, was there anything specific that he was sort of looking for when he went back to Russia?
Oh, he cried. He cried. He was in first grade at the time, and he just boo-hoo sobbed when we said that we were moving. He didn't want to leave his friends. He didn't want to leave... he was very close to my parents. He didn't want to leave them. He sobbed. And so I had to spin it in a way that would make it okay for him. And he knew he was adopted. He knew what it meant. He's a very smart, smart young man. So he knew what adoption meant. And I said, it'll give us a chance to go back to Russia and to see what it's like. What kind of life they live there, what kind of foods they eat, what kind of games they play. And so I had to make it child-friendly for a first grader. And he was nervous, you know, when we got there, but he did great. And in the meantime, you know, since living there, we went back to his region 3 times. We went back to his infant home 2. So he got to see where he spent his first 20 months of life. And that was quite an amazing experience. He said after the first time we went back to the home, it was as if he was a movie star. We walked in and they all remembered him. They all knew him. The ladies were, some of the same ladies were still there and I recognized them. And they were so pleased that we brought him back. And it was a beautiful day. It was snowing. It was crisp and the air was blue. It was picture it in a movie and that's in snow falling. And we got in the car afterwards and we pile into the car and it drives off. And as it's driving off, I didn't know whether or not to say anything because he was really quiet. And I said, well, what did you think? And he said, it's just nice to be remembered. And he had this smile on his face. And I thought, thank you. Because that's what you want. That's what you want. And you never know if it's going to be that way. And his story, I think, is magnificent, and not every child has that story when they go to their infant home. And I'm so pleased that my son had that. And the same thing for our daughter. We took her back to her infant home and we made it fun for them. We took gifts and diapers and, you know, some clothing, and it was a wonderful time. But for our daughter too, in Poland, we went there and they all remembered her. And she was more interested in where she slept and the mechanics of things more so than our son. And so we took our daughter, but she got to see where she slept, and the director, she remembered our daughter, and the caregivers were there, and we got to play and love on each child and hug them and pray over them. And she was really happy too. It was a blessing to do this. And that's why I say moving to Russia was just, I don't know that that was about it. I think the purpose for moving to Russia was really for my kids. You know, I think the added gift was living in Russia, but that's our adoption story.
How are traveling
I'm an emotional wreck. What a wonderful story. What a beautiful story.
Yeah. So, yeah, tears. Many, many tears.
I've
cried in interviews, but I think in that one you can actually hear me go, because yes,
I could hear you cry.
She was a beautiful storyteller and it was just such an interesting story to listen to. So that's more the emotional issues. But I really liked for one of the other episodes was Expat Money, and for completely different reasons. It was really practical, it was informative, and I thought it really showed how careless we can be with our money as expats. And I'd been working with the Barefoot Investor for, I don't know, about 6 months, 9 months by the time we did this episode. And I think he gave a great interview. He made a great analogy of professional sports people and expats, and I think that one is well worth going back and listening to. So that one was season 2, episode 17, and it was called Expat Money. So what was your second one, Nikki, that you liked?
Well, I decided that we should have one in this list that I was in because... sorry for favourite episode. but my favourite episode from this year was season 3, episode 6, which was the Big Fat Expat Meetup.
Yes. I've had so many people tell me that this was their all-time favourite.
Yeah.
This is big kudos to you, Nikki Moffat, because you had the idea and you were very big on, yes, you should go to Singapore. And this is the thing I wanted to say before about you saying about how it's been a big thing about you coming to the podcast. It has been a huge thing for me because you have pushed me to sort of do things right out of my depth that I wouldn't usually do. And you are very, very good at saying to me, no, you don't understand. People do want to hear that. People do want to read that, you know. Just get on with it, I guess, because you were a listener and, you know, a reader of your blog. So you have really made me. And you said we need to have someone there who can record it. And I did not understand why. Like, I just was like... why on earth would we do that? Why would we go to that trouble? Oh, my God, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Yeah, all right, you organise it, but I'm not doing that. And you did. So, sorry, what were you going to say about it? Because you were bloody brilliant at organising.
No, I was just going to say that it was like it had a bit of an undertone of death again, which, you know, very uplifting. But it was like your father-in-law had just passed away and you just were about to go to Australia for the funeral when you went to Singapore. You were on your way to Australia. And then when we recorded the episode, you had come back from Australia after the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to... when we recorded the episode, it was also the week of the anniversary of my mum's death, which was... obviously emotional as well for me when we just started talking about funerals and travelling and death in the family. But again, another issue facing expats, it's another thing that's when we do it, it's always different.
Yes.
You know, there was a little bit of light humour, you know, when we talked about all having to have good hair if you want to go to a funeral. Awkward moments, but really the recording of what we call the Big Fat Expat Meetup in Singapore, the beautiful blog post and you reading to it and just like you connecting to the real life people, like your writing, which I love and which everyone who listens to this loves, and just your real honesty and connection with the audience, like it had all the things, you know, the laughter, the tears, and also you were so overwhelmed with the stories that you told me about the people that you met, like people that you'd been talking online with for years and then just met. I mean, even Kelly Nash, who introduced you, that was the first day that you'd actually met her.
Yes.
But you felt like you knew her. Do you know, like you'd spent all that time.
Oh, yeah. I would tell people that Kelly Nash is a good friend of mine. Yeah. This holiday we've exchanged, you know, what we've been doing with crosswords and word puzzles. But yeah, no, you're right. And you know, one of the stories from that day is a beautiful woman called Marty, who I'll protect her surname, but she was meant to be coming along and she couldn't. And she sent me a note the night before saying, look, I can't come because my girlfriend has just had a family drama. It was involving her husband, and she literally has to get on a plane tomorrow and get out of the country. And I want to take her to the airport, and it's a big fat mess, and it's all whatever. And I won't be able to come, but I'm really hoping I can whiz past and see you on the way back. Now, I'd never met Marty, but we have talked over the blog and over, you know, the Facebook page for years. And lo and behold, Marty did arrive, you know, right at the end, and came over and said hello and kind of handed me this little package. And I took it up to the room later, and, you know, we had almost like a little bit of a... I tried very hard not to cry because, you know, I'm a great crier. And, you know, but I just thought that was the crux of who we are, right? That this woman was helping a fellow expat woman, and that's what we're all about. And anyway, I went up to the room and looked, and one of the things in this lovely little package that she had given me was her grandmother, who is a massive Port Power supporter, which is the team I barrack for. She'd written a note.
You just thrown Port Power in January. I mean, it's January.
It's not an episode of Two Fat Expats if I haven't talked about Port Power. But her mother was a Port Adelaide supporter as well, but her mother had gone to my hometown in Renmark, my little hometown of 7,500 people, and she had collected one of those thinly, the material that you put over to protect the food, you know, from any flies or insects or anything, just, like a cheesecloth. And it had Renmark, someone had written on it and drawn a little picture of an orange, and she'd given it to me. And I was just like, it was huge, you know, and I've used it because we came from Singapore back, I came back to the beach, and last week I had people for lunch and the flies were around and I said, I've got the perfect thing, I've got the perfect thing. And sort of going full circle, because I had cousin Bianca here and I sort of laid it out and I went to tell the story and I said, you know, because I went, did that thing, you know, in Singapore where I went and I read the stories and there were the people there. And Bianca said, you really need to get better at explaining what you do, Kirsty.
You know, I went to the thing where there's like 100 people and they all came to listen to me. Yeah, that thing, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to get better at that. I die badly at that stuff, but I will get better at it this year, I promise. But, yeah, so that's what it's all about for me, and meeting people and, like that, and having that relationship.
And also the fact that, you know, there were tables of which we're going to follow up with, but there were two tables of women who didn't know anyone else there. And yes. Kelly had come up with the idea of putting them all, of saying, this is a safe place, come to this table if you don't know anyone else, because neither does anyone else. And they were the last people to leave.
Yes, they were fantastic. And, yeah, I'd love to hear from those ladies that were on the I don't know anyone else table. If you're listening, we would love to hear from you to sort of know, you know, did you get together again? Did you make any good, you know, did you meet some people? How did you feel about it? And, of course, you can go to the twofatexpats.net. Are we www.twofatexpats.net? I think we are. And
are we?
Yes.
I thought we were .com.
Oh, can you double check? Have you got a computer?
I'm going to check that right now.
Yeah. But if you go to our website.
.com. You don't even know our website.
Are we really? I thought we were .net.
We're .com, people.
All right. Twofatexpats.com. That means the signature in my email that I did today is actually wrong.
But, oh, my God.
Yes, if you go to Two Fat Expats, you'll see on the right-hand side there's a little microphone. If you click on it, you can leave us a voicemail message, and we would love that.
So so now we've covered off 2016, not much going on there. Let's move on to 2017. What's going on? Kirsty Rice, tell
us. Okay, so... Nikki, you and I are going to be spending even more time together this year.
Yay!
So when I started the blog, I started it because I wanted to write something that I would have liked to have had for me when I started my expat sort of travels. Yeah. And, you know, the blog obviously grew into something else, and then I realised I wanted to do the podcast because I could see that that was just an even much better way of expanding the conversation and reaching out to people all over who were stuck in their cars in traffic in different expat locations, and that it was a good one for expat women. And now what I'd really, really like to do is do an expat subscription-based newsletter, and I want to put everything I've learnt sort of to the test. So I basically want to combine everything I've learned over the last year of how to put together a really fantastic newsletter that's completely independent, like fiercely independent, with no advertising and no gimmicks, where people aren't feeling that we're giving them information because it's all sponsored and, you know, yeah, told, you know, whatever, which seems to happen all the time in the expat world. There's always usually some bank.
A lot of online worlds, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I really think that the expat community needs a newsletter like this, and it's going to be...
Well, obviously it does.
And we've put together some great bonus reports. So we've got some fantastic expat women who have written just some incredible articles with really good information. So this isn't fluff. It's a proper step-by-step what you need to do, and we've really zeroed in on different scenarios. And
it's entertaining to read.
It is entertaining to read.
Don't think because it's not fluff, it's not funny.
Yeah, it's definitely still going to be funny. It's going to be honest, and it's I think it's fantastic. And obviously, because, you know, I've collected all these people along with you, and Nikki, you've been amazing at sort of helping me along with this. This is sort of an exercise we're going in together. But it's also something that I think this is really important. It's something my husband wants to read just as much as I want to read. And so it is putting things into practice as an expat couple as well, that we can do to make sure we don't blow our dough and that we've actually got some money to go home with, but also to make sure that we're looked after on the location that we're in, and that we live a fat expat life while we're doing it. If you're interested in subscribing to the Fat Expat newsletter or Fat Expats, you'll notice every time you'll go to the Two Fat Expats page or the Four Kids, 20 Suitcases page, and I mean the actual web page, not the Facebook page, but the actual web page.
That's www.twofatexpats.com.
And www.kirstyriceonline.com, just to make it really confusing that it's not Four Kids, 20 Suitcases and a Beagle. But if you go to either of those websites at the moment, you will have noticed a very annoying little pop-up comes up asking you if you're interested in hearing more about it. So if you could go and subscribe, then I will make sure that we send you out all the information in the next week. You're also going to see little explainer videos that will come up and talk more about what it's all about and how it can help you and what it can do for you. But, yeah, first step first is go and subscribe so that we can get you on the email list to send out all the information to you.
It's going to be huge.
Huge. It's going to be huge, in the words of the Don. Okay, so, Nikki, I think really that's sort of what's going to absolutely keep me going in 2017. I'm really busy with that. What about you? What does 2017 look like for you?
Well, I've thought about sort of doing some work with someone I know on a new expat subscription-based newsletter. Yeah. I like to call it a media company startup.
Yes.
and that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to making some friends. I've got three friends I could call now if there's something, you know, drastically wrong and I need someone to sort of cover something. Three's not bad. This whole feeling of myself being feeling a little bit all at sea within myself, nothing about
the move that I'm still sort of searching to find where I lost my tethering to myself, which is all a little bit introspective for this. But it, like, I think that they're all things that have impacted in me sort of jumping in a little bit more. But that's sort of one thing I've, you know, decided to do once the school year starts again, which it did yesterday. Yay. So I'll be doing that. But, you know, like, I have German 3 days a week. Like, there are a lot of things I've got going on that, you know, and people will say, oh, can you do this? And I'm like, actually, I can't today because, you know, I've got German, or the kids have got German, or...
Yes.
The bloody Germans. No, kidding. Love them. Love them. So that's kind of it. And I've also, I mean, this has made me also become a total podcast addict, and I'm addicted to podcasts, and I listen and think, and I've got a whole book full of podcasts I think should be on the internet that aren't. And then I keep trying to find whether they are there and whether someone's already done them and how good they are. But there's another podcast project that I'm going to be working on this year that's sort of a more personal thing. Mm-hmm. To do with my mum and my family. So that's what I've sort of got on the table for now. So leading, talking about podcasts and things, social media, Kirsty, what have you got going on?
Yes. Okay, so social media for me, I have been listening to a BBC podcast, and it's actually called The Documentary, and it is absolutely superb. Really, really good quality, terrific interviews. I'm still trying to work out if some of them are radio and some of them are TV. You know how quite often, it happens on Al Jazeera radio. Quite often you'll be listening to Al Jazeera radio and you realise that they're actually playing a television program. But
right, yeah.
And I think there's a couple that are like this, but then there's a couple that are obviously radio. But three that have been my favourite, because I think it's really good to sort of point people to particular episodes if they think they're of interest, and to give you an idea of some of the things that are on the documentary, is one of the episodes, and they're good because they go between sort of 30 and 45 minutes as well. One of them was called Treating the Sex Offender, and it was a look at how sex offenders are locked up in the UK. And they interviewed sex offenders, and they also interviewed the officers who were in charge of the facility. There is a specific place for sex offenders in the UK. Like, I think they try and keep them
all together.
Yeah, because, oh, wow. you know that they get treated as the lowest of the low if they're in everyday jail. So I think this is one of the reasons they do it. But they had all sorts of people from different, you know, I guess, places on the scale. And they had rapists, and they had pedophiles, and then they had people who hadn't actually made any contact, but they'd been arrested for having material on their computers. And I just found it a really...
Yeah, very uplifting.
Oh, not uplifting. It was just this fascinating struggle in your own mind when you listen to people, right? Because you hear them repent, and you hear in their voices this incredible sorrow and what it's meant for them having... And this is the thing, because you start to think this is a terrible illness and you have a terrible, terrible illness, and... But then at the same time, you're thinking about whoever they've hurt, you know. And I found myself, the guy who'd raped the 38-year-old woman who had been off his face for 4 days and, you know, went in and raped this woman and went to jail for it, I could listen to his story. But then when I would listen to somebody who had harmed a child, it was like, oh, no, nothing you say is going to change my mind. Yeah, it was just incredible. So I think that's great podcast, right, if you can really think about something.
Yeah, people think, yeah.
Yeah. The second one I listened to was called Jobs for the Girls, and it was women who were working in sort of non-traditional roles in India, and it was very cute sort of looking at women who had, taken off their saris and put on their overalls to go and work as mechanics, and, you know, just why that's such a big deal in India and the support they sort of needed from the men in their lives to do that. So that was good. There was a great one called The Force of Google, which looked at Google algorithms, and it made me realise that Google runs the world, that it's got...
Google does run the world. Are really you just realising that now? Are you crazy?
I just showed you how they
run
the world.
Google and forecast economists, they run the world.
Wow. It's just incredible, isn't it? So that was good. But my favourite one, for obvious reasons, because we had lived in Libya, is there's one called Gaddafi and the Man with the Golden Gun. And this was my all-time favourite. I actually listened to it twice because I found it so fascinating. Gabriel Gatehouse, who works for the BBC, returns to Libya in search of Gaddafi's Golden Gun. And what that is Gabriel Gatehouse went to Libya 4 years ago in the Arab Spring, and he was there when Gaddafi was captured. And I don't know if you can remember the footage, but Gaddafi was found in a hole in Sirte, and he was captured by all the rebels, and they were kicking him and punching him, and basically in the footage it almost looks like they're going to actually physically tear him apart. And then he kind of goes out of television view and comes back in, and he's got blood coming out of his chest, and he dies sort of right there and then. And in the footage, which was broadcast all over the news, they show you these rebels jumping up and down, and one of them has Gaddafi's golden pistol, and they're all holding on to it and, like, you know, doing the Allahu Akbar, you know, that it's all over and that they've got his gun and that he's gone and blah blah blah. And but now when he goes back and he goes and finds the guy who had the gun, he goes back and gets the gun, sees the gun, he talks to all those people, and all of them are unhappy with Libya. Every single one of them devastated.
I think truly devastated. Podcast for years about the Arab Spring, I think.
And they just talk about what it's like in Sirte now, and that there's hardly any Libyans there, that it's all Tunisians and Syrians and Iraqis and people who are, you know, they are ISIS, and because they called them the Daesh, but it just was so interesting. So, I haven't given you really uplifting ones.
Oh, come on.
Women. So, but, yeah, that's my podcast. Now, your podcast, oh,
well,
I know.
I'll give you something uplifting. I'll give you something. Well, I'm really late to the party, and I did try and listen to it once before, and it didn't appeal to me, but this time I turned it back on, and I just immediately fell in love with it.
Now, was it from episode... No, sorry, you go on and tell us what it is, and then I'll ask questions.
Well, I actually felt so passionately about how much I was laughing that I put it on my personal Facebook page, and most of the people I know who listen to my podcast had already listened to it. But my dad wrote a porno. So good. So good. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, a guy discovered, well, who knows, it could be an all very clever marketing campaign, but his father, who is 60, had written an erotic fiction book, and he and two of his friends read the book and comment on it as they go, and it is so freaking funny.
I've done episode 1 and 2, and I got home because you wanted to know last night, well, you know, what did you think, because you'd put it out on your Facebook page, and I was like, yeah, it's good, but it's not grabbing me yet. Then I kind of listened to a bit of episode 3 before I went to bed, and I did laugh out loud. Is it one of those ones? Am I going to, as I start to, because it's three people that are all reading it.
And you get into them and their responses to things. And then, of course, Belinda and the character development that you see there. She's blinking all the time. Belinda Blink is the name of the erotic novel that they read. And it's just like, to me, that just builds on it. And it's British humour, which I find very funny.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
You know, they just... And it's so badly written. Like, I was thinking someone is going to do a 50 Grades of Shea... Grades of Shea. Shades of Grey podcast and do exactly the same thing. Because, you know, how many times does she lick her lips in 50 Shades of Grey? But it's... I was thinking, oh, this is open for all this kind of stuff. But it's just... I just think it gets it right. And I would compare it to the other podcast that I suggested people listen to, which was The Berlin Patient, which I don't think got it. Like, it's a similar kind of thing. It's very awkward, very bad situation that they're trying to sort of talk over with friends and make it funnier. And I don't... I don't know, someone might write me an email and tell me I'm comparing two totally different genres, but I don't necessarily think I am. but I just... It's very... It's funny. And, you know, it makes you laugh out loud. And, oh, it makes me laugh out loud. And, you know, I need that in my day when it's, like, 0 degrees and grey skies. So I'm sticking with it.
Yes.
And the other podcast I'm listening to, which, oh... I am in love with as well, is West Wing.
Yeah, I started listening to this just before Christmas because I got caught because I started listening to it and then I thought, this is so, so good. I really want to go back and now watch all of West Wing. And so then I had to wait for my children to join in so that they could then listen to the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, because you want to do
anyway, it's family friendly. You could totally listen to it.
It is totally family friendly, and so is West Wing, because we have been watching that with the kids, and it's very good to watch with the kids. And, yeah, then to be able to listen to the podcast and then get all the background. I have to say they didn't probably find the podcast as interesting as we did, but they love the show.
And can I just say, My Dad Wrote a Porno is not safe for family time. It's not safe for kids, and it's not safe for work, and it's not safe for anything except headphones. And I've also been listening to your pick from last time, which was Not by Accident by Sophie Harper.
Yes.
Which I'm on and off again. Like, when I get into it, I get right into it, and then I can let it go and pick up something else. So
yeah, I have to say, I think I listened to all of it up to, you know, wherever it was up to by the end of November, beginning of December, and I haven't gone back to it yet because I've also found she's everywhere now, Sophie Harper. Like, everybody's talking about her and talking about that podcast. And, of course, for those who haven't listened last week, Not By Accident is the podcast about the woman who has a baby on her own and she's living in Denmark because she can, in Denmark, use a sperm donor, and it's all about that story of how she goes about having a baby on her own.
But she was living in Denmark and working in Denmark anyway.
And then
she decided to have the baby. And just like everything, it's an expat story.
It is.
And so just like everything, we can bring it back to being an expat.
Yeah, all right, now what are you reading?
A reading. Okay, so I've been reading / listening to on Audible. Audible should sponsor us because, honestly, I plug it so freaking much. Born a Crime by Trevor Noah.
Yes.
And it's narrated by Trevor Noah. Remember, Kirsty, I've always asked you to narrate your own book when you write it.
Yes.
So Trevor Noah is, people may know him now as the host of The Daily Show, but when we were living in South Africa, he was an up-and-coming South African comedian.
Yes.
So for me, I kind of feel that I've followed his story. Now, Border Crime is, his father was Swiss-German, and his mother was South African, a black South African woman. And it was illegal for them to want to have sex and then to have a baby. So it's a story of his, it's a story of him, sort of his childhood. And it is quite incredible to think that now he sits and hosts a Daily Show and does, you know, commentary on global events. And sort of 8 years ago, he was sort of like, peddling stolen goods in Soweto, or Alexandria, I should say, but which is a township in South Africa. So it's quite amazing. And when you listen to the stories, you're like, oh, there's no way this stuff is real. The sort of things that he says, but having lived there, It totally is. And I just, I really felt drawn to it, I think, because of that. And also listening to it, he's incredibly entertaining when he talks, and he does all the accents and he does voices and for all the people that talk in the book, and obviously he speaks all the African words. So it's really good. I mean, that's why I'm enjoying it. I enjoyed it. I've listened to the whole thing. It's fantastic. Loved it.
My Mr. 13 bought himself that book when he was home for Christmas, and he's also been reading it and reading me little excerpts out of it. And he's actually, of course, reading it, Nikki. He's not doing it by audio because he actually reads. Well,
I bet he can't pronounce the clicking sounds when it's got all the African sentences.
That's very true.
He's missing out on some of the essence of the book. But yes, fair play to him. Fair play to him.
Yeah. No, because I had a little digital detox over the summer, unintentionally too. It kind of just happened, and then I realised, gee, this is nice, and my days are so much longer. So once we kind of broke for Christmas and the kids got here, I got into this fantastic habit of going down to the bakery every morning and getting either the milk or the bread or whatever and the newspaper and a coffee, and then coming back to the house and sitting down with the Sudoku and with the word search. There's a thing called Target Master I know my friend Darian put me onto it. I used to share a house with Darian, and he is one of those incredibly bright, educated not young anymore because he's as old as me, but he was incredibly bright, educated young man, and we used to like sit up and play Mastermind and board games and, you know, these sorts of things. And sure enough, he came over when I first got home to catch up, and that's what we did. We sat there together and did the Target Master out of the newspaper. And it's
now, the Target Master, is that the one with the squares?
Yes. So it has three rows of three, and in the middle it has a letter, and that letter has to be used in every word. So you measure
how clever you are by how many words you get.
Yes, yes. And it's very hard because once you've got the nine-letter word, you're kind of like, oh, do I really want to persist with this now?
You know, does it matter that I've only got 50?
I have got to the stage now, Nikki, where I have focused in and I've been doing it so much that I could almost assure you that I would get that nine-letter word within 5 minutes.
No.
Yeah, and I'm only being a big fat bragger about this because the other night I went over to our neighbours and they had borrowed our newspaper and they'd ripped it out and they had it. I don't. Can you hear that? Can you hear it in my voice? And anyway, I got there and I said, "Oh, you've got the Target Master!" And I turned it over and jokingly they said, "How quickly can you get it?" And I went, adjective.
No.
So the trick is, in the advertiser, it's a nine-letter word. In the Australian, it's a 12-letter word, and they are harder, I think.
Yeah, okay, nine-letter, right. So I used to do the one in the Australian. I'm thinking, geez, I used to do it all the time, and I never got it.
So, and I only do the Australian on Saturdays, so that is much harder. But the nine-letter word is much easier. But this is what I mean about having a digital detox, because the other thing I did was, and this is going to become a family tradition from now on because we loved it so much, was we came back from Granny Max's on Christmas, you know, a couple of days after Christmas, and Santa had left us a Christmas puzzle, and it was an 1,000-word puzzle, and we laid it out on the table.
It was 1,000 pieces.
And we laid it out on the table, and it just stayed there for the 3 weeks. And it's one of those things, those who have puzzles in their houses know how this works, but you kind of just wander by it and then you've got to stop and do a few pieces, and then you wander by it again and you stop and you do another few pieces. And, you know, it's a real, you can sit there in quiet with your children, but, you know, you just start to have these conversations because you don't really have to make eye contact and it all feels very safe and you're just joking around. Do you get my drift? And it's just a great way to interact with teens as well, because nothing's, you know, too, cool. Oh, God, Mum, you're, you know, now you're asking me really personal questions and this is really awks.
Being in the car, you can just talk about anything.
Yes. Do you know why a jigsaw puzzle is called a jigsaw puzzle?
I don't, but I got a feeling you're going to tell me.
Well, my friend Tim told me that it's because they used a jigsaw to cut them.
Well, I could have guessed that. I was going to say that, and then I thought, no, that's stupid. You're going to tell me something really clever. So we should remind people of all the ways they can love us.
Yes.
Or be involved in the conversation. Because really, what we're all about you, even though we sound like we're just about ourselves and talking to each other. So first of all, yes, make sure you're subscribed on iTunes or whatever app you use for your podcast, your favourite podcast app. iTunes reviews, always very handy. We're also on Twitter at Two Fat Expats. We have a Facebook page, Two Fat Expats. We have an Instagram account, also at Two Fat Expats. There's a theme here. I can sense you can sense it.
But I think the most important thing is subscribe or review, because that's what really, really helps us. But if you want to send us a message, you can send us
or
a message.
Or send a link to your friends.
Now, for those who are waiting for us to talk about the those who are waiting for us to talk about the book, we've now lost the author. So
she's gone missing on her Christmas holidays.
She has. And I just opened my Skype and that's what made that funny noise, because I wanted to see if there was a message from her, because I've been sending her daily messages saying, hello, can I chat to you? And I haven't been able to get hold of her yet. So I'm really hoping we'll get to have a chat with Annika, who wrote The Disobedient Wife, and then we can talk about that next week, because it's a fantastic expat book. It's a great
book. It is. It's a great book. It's a great book.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get to chat to her. If we don't get to chat to her, we will come back with one of our other fabulous ideas. I think, Nikki, we really have to do one now about moving with older kids and younger kids, because that's been discussed so much this week how people feel about it. I think it would be great to do that, the differences, and start giving people some tips of, you know, tips with moving with young and tips moving with old, and how we have to make it work, because we don't always have a choice. Sometimes we just have to move.
Yeah, true that.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up and get planning for next week.
Okay, see you next week.